Praise you, Lord. We just love you, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful words you've given us, and how much you love us to for forsaking the world and forsaking the flesh, and forsaking everything but you, Lord. You gave us that word through Debbie, and it has been an awesome. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night, a night of glorifying you and searching your word for whatever somebody comes up with. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us through all of that. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you anoint each one of us to speak whatever it is you'd have us to speak. And Father, we thank you for answering all of our prayers. And we thank you for the testimonies and the praise reports that we get of your answered prayers, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in each one of us. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and bringing down the faction and scattering to the far winds of the world. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? What's the date today? Today's 25th. All right. Who's got? Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay. Just a quick update on Julie, and I'd like for us to pray for her. She's in Iowa, and when hospice contacted her, it's been a week. A week ago, they said that her brother had like 12 to 72 hours to live, and I know she prayed about it, and the Lord, you know, got her a ticket, and she arrived there last Friday. Well, as of you know, about noontime, he was still alive. I do know that they're not offering him anything to eat or drink. They're keeping him comfortable with morphine, and so that's kind of the update. It does look like, you know, hopefully he's going to. Well, we'll just pray about that. The other thing is, you know, there's been some tough times there with some of the family members. It's been a bit tough. And I know that Julie was left there with Mark today, and because her sister just needed some time away and needed to go home. So, Lord, we just lift this whole situation up to you. And I know that if Julie's there with Mark, I know Jesus is there with Mark, because Christ abides in Julie. And I've never met anybody that can pray in tongues like Julie. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that she's there and she is, she's praying. And she's praying perfect prayers, Father, and she's using that gift that you gave her to pray for her brother. And Lord, we just put our faith with hers that you are, you're working there, and that your angels are there, and that they are ready to, at your perfect time, Father, when everything is right with his heart, when everything that is done that needs to be done, and there's no more reason for him to be here, Lord, you're gonna take him on home. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. I'm comforted to know that Julie actually led her brother to the Lord about a year or so ago, and that she has faith that he's saved, and we do too. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the good work you're doing there. And, Lord, we do bind up any spirits of contention or strife or just even people just struggling under stress that have said things or done things, things that people have just done out of ignorance and immaturity, her siblings that are there, that she's dealing with. We just bind up all contentious spirits there, any bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and Lord, praying an outpouring of your spirit on everyone. And Lord, a spirit of peace and the love of Christ, and that through all of this, there's going to be significant healing for the family. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing here, and we're all comforted to know that you're with Julie, and she's comforted to know that the saints are praying for her. So, Lord, we give you highest glory and just praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to ask you, if he had been led to Christ yet. So, praise God. We thank you, Lord, for easing him on home. Thank you, Lord, because he's not in much shape right now. And, Lord, we just thank you for it, because he'll rejoice once he gets up there. He'll be rejoicing with you, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. They put peace in Julie's heart. Give her some peace. And let her just, when strife and contention come against her, if it does, Lord, I'm asking you to put her in her perfect peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. All right, anyone else? How about a praise report? Go ahead, Chris. Let me unmute you. Now, go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
I got a interesting day in a praise report. I've had kind of an ongoing work struggle past couple of weeks, and so today I was going to do some side work, and I was towing a tractor on an equipment trailer, and when I got to the job site, I noticed I was having brake issues with my truck, and I was somewhat concerned, you know, towing about 5,000 pounds, and so I contacted my wife and I said, let's just pray for this truck. So I went on and did my day's work at work, and got back in the truck to come home this afternoon, got the tractor all loaded and everything, got it on the trailer and started up the truck, and I was still having brake issues. And I said, well, God, you know, I don't have time for this. I really don't have time for this. I really don't have money for this. I just don't want to mess with it. In about, I don't know, minute, 2 minutes, it just went away. And I got everything home safely. Truck was working fine. I was praising the Lord and enjoying a little celebration of that. And missed a phone call offering me a full-time job. So God just worked it all out in just a little bit of time. So I'm just praising him and thanking him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. That's cool. Thank you, Jesus. Got a job out of the deal too, huh, Chris?
Well, yeah, it was a different job I was hoping to get, but it's been a struggle the past couple weeks, and I had work today, and now I got full-time work coming up in the future.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let it all work out. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, you got it. Okay. Anybody else? Prayer report or prayer request? Anything like that? Well, how about some? Oh, Marilyn, you've got your hand up. Go ahead, girl.
Well, I just wanted to thank the Lord. I had kind of a divine appointment yesterday at the food bank. We have a new lady that's coming in to do some volunteer work. And I knew her brother had been really sick with cancer here about a year and a half ago, and Barry and I prayed for him. And, you know, they were telling him he wasn't going to make it, and he did. And so anyway, I was talking to her about that, and she started asking me, you know, how they always ask you, well, where do you go to church? And told her a little bit about UBM. And to cut to the chase, I had a copy of Sovereign God there at the food bank, just waiting for a divine appointment. And I asked her, I said, you know, do you like to read? And she was really happy to receive it, and she was looking through it, and she's looking through the chapter on numerics, and she said, I've seen some of this before. And so, Father, I just want to thank you for letting me get that into Nancy's hands. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless her. Lord, that she'll read that it's that you will enlighten the eyes of her understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll give her eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to believe the good news that and the gospel that is in that book. And Lord, that it's just going to be a blessing to her. I know she's searching. I know she doesn't. I don't think she has much of the word in her, but she knows that when she's gone to churches, it's just dead, and she's looking for something more. So, Lord, I know you've called her out, and I'm praying, Lord, that this is going to be a great feast for her, and even more than that, Lord, that she'll be interested, and I can give her other of the UBM books to read, and that it's going to help her grow up in the Lord really quick. And also, Lord, praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon her to guide her and lead her and draw her to you, Lord. She's a very young one, but she does believe, and she was really interested in getting that book. So, Lord, I thank you for that and praying you'll bless her. And we're going to have more good reports about Nancy. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're going to make a true believer out of her in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, I've something funny. Something off. When somebody asks you, you know, well, what church you go to? Haven't you always wanted to do this? Well, I'll tell you. I go down there to the First Pentecostal Baptist Church of the Burning Bush down there on 4th and Vine. You know where that's at? You ever wanted to do that? I have. I wanted to do it, man. First Pentecostal Baptist Church of the Burning Bush down on 4th and Vine. Y'all know what? If you tell her, if you ask her, y'all know where it is. And they're not they say they're Christians, but they don't go to church or anything. That's down. I remember that. They say that. I'm telling you, I know. I've done similar things before.
Well, the town we live in is so tiny, there's no 4th and Vine.
Well, there's not most churches in no town. So, you got to give them an address.
Yeah. She did ask me, she said, so do you go to the Baptist church or the Lutheran church? Because those are the only two in town. And I let her know that's not where we went.
And, well, if you ask them about the First Pentecostal Baptist church, you know, of the Trinitarian. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, the one that I like is the first spitting mud. Here's spitting mud in your eye to heal you from blindness.
Yeah,
spitting mud in your eye. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? I don't know if y'all been, and I'm just going to touch on it just briefly. Is that okay? I'm talking about world news. I'm going to touch on it briefly. Just briefly, maybe an hour and a half is all I'm going to talk about. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know if y'all have been watching the news at all, but things are breaking. The deep state is coming down. They found a bunch of emails of Hillary's in the executive office when Obama was president. And the FBI, the head of the Counterintelligence Bureau of the FBI, testified before Judicial Watch. He was ordered to by the judge that they retrieved over 43,000 emails of Hillary's out of the executive office when Obama was president. And he named a bunch of names, Loretta Lynch and all of those, down the line of people who knew about it. So then we understand that Trump has ordered National Guard and troops, National Guard troops, to arm themselves. And there's troop movements all over the country to go pick these people up. That's what it looks like. And so you're liable to see a lot of chaos here shortly because of it. But don't worry. They're in control. Trump's in control. And I believe this is going to be the catalyst for a lot of good things for God's people. And you'll see what I'm talking about here shortly. If all of this is true, what we're seeing, what we're hearing. So anyway, we'll just see. Also, one other thing. Y'all know who that senator from, no, I'm sorry, representative from Texas. He grins all the time. Travis, you know, he's like this all the time. He just talks like this. He talks as he's got a grin on. But he was interviewed by.
Is it Rathburn?
Yeah. Well, no. You say Rathburn? It's something like that. Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. But anyway, he was interviewed by Jason Chavez, or however you pronounce his name. And he said that only two Republicans got to see the FISA documents. And right at the top of the FISA document, in big capital bold letters, it said verified. Which, in fact, it was not. That was a complete lie. If the judge doesn't have information other than what the FBI gives him, then he doesn't know. So he just assumed that it was verified. But it wasn't. It was not verified, matter of fact. And so that's some more illegalities that went on. Yeah.
Joe DeGeneva said on Hannity.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, right. But he said on Hannity, the FISA court recognized that, and they've turned over documents to the DOJ with recommendations to prosecute all the people that verified that because it was untrue. So, yeah. And
Rob Rosenstein, McCabe,
right?
I don't know, there's a bunch of
somebody has to be responsible for allowing that to be verified like that. they have to sign off on it. So
right, the DOJ is part of the people that they're going to prosecute, the people that were Obama appointees. I can't remember the girl's name, but
this is the DOJ.
Well, the DOJ has the documents, but the current documents from the FISA court, but that's the current one, and they're going to prosecute the old DOJ.
Right, exactly.
Left.
The ones in the DOJ let this go by and did this.
Right, right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, matter of fact, they took it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
And then I read that an article that Cumley and Brennan and a few others...
Cumley.
Were Comey. They had been... They briefed Biden on this stuff back in 2016.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had a secret meeting, then Biden got briefed on it. So Biden was... knew all about this.
So he's dirty too, huh?
Well, he's now that he's part of it, that he has knowledge, it's like he didn't do anything to stop it.
Hmm.
We'll have to find out more from him, what he knew and what they told him and all that stuff. Because if it could be they were maybe trying to make him go along with it, or they don't know what the story is, whether or not he was part of it, or they're just trying to put the wool over his eyes so he went along with it. I don't know.
Well, that's not hard to do with him. I'm just saying. Okay, so we're updated then. At some of those troops also may be going down to stop some of that 20,000 people that are coming up from Central America. Also.
I read 300,000 movement.
It could be. I don't know.
We're looking at major numbers. I read the article. They're from all over the world. They're coming into Mexico to come up through the border.
Is anybody here from Alabama? I don't think anybody here is from Alabama, are they? Did y'all hear about the outbreak they got down there of this new hepatitis A? In Alabama, it's just spreading like wildfire down there. Some kind of virus called hepatitis A. I don't know if the C is worse than the A. I don't know. I don't know anything about that, but it's a virus that has been loosed down there, apparently. Airborne. So, yeah, Pat.
What is financing all of these caravans that are coming up? And is there some way, you know, to pinpoint that we could pray against that? Because it's extremely unusual. I mean, if you think about just the logistics of a family with no money, a mother and her kids or whatever, and no money, walking 3,000 miles to a border, and it's got to, you know, something is going on there as far as there's got to be a major financial support of that whole caravan concept in some form or another.
It's George Soros, the UN, Venezuela, and a variety of other countries and so forth. Yeah. Anybody that's got any kind of money that's a leftist that wants this to occur, they'll send money to finance it. So there's a multiple amount of people financing it. Venezuela's doing it because we've got sanctions on them. So... anyway,
so how can they afford it? I mean, so how do we cut that supply of money off so that
just what you said, pray.
Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when I stopped viewing news and everything about all this stuff that's going on in the deep state and the RV and new financial system, getting rid of the Fed and IRS and all this stuff, you know, it seemed to me that what was really going to do the deep state in was to get this whole new financial system, because it was going to take their money away from them. So my question is what have you heard is the holdup on this? I mean, that's something that I think we need to pray about, that things line up, that however they got to line up for this whole new financial system to go into place, because it's going to take the deep state's money away from doing all this stuff, because it finances this caravan stuff. It finances, you know, any of those in the country, you know, as jihadists. It finances the whole pedophilia thing. It's financing, you know, a lot of the corruption in this country and throughout the world. So my question is, what's you know, what's going on? What's the holdup?
Well, I can sit here and pontificate about what's going on and talk circles around it. But here's what I think. Here's what other people think too, that's a whole lot smarter than me, is that with this gathering up of the people, with the National Guard and all of that, and this caravan coming up and all these things that are happening, they're waiting on that to transpire to get the RV out. So it'll be kind of a behind the scenes kind of thing that happens. That's what that's what a lot of people say. So, and as far as praying against the people coming up here, I remember the Lord telling us not to pray against that. He told us we could pray that it was lessened, that it would be lessened, but he's going to use these people on this particular action that's happening to bring about this chastening of the church. That's what I understand. So, yeah, Pat, I'll get you later. I'll get you right after him, Joe.
Sorry, Joe. Let me ask you, remember when Trump came up with this whole thing about sending these the overflow of migrants that are coming in into the sanctuary cities? Did we pray about that one night?
Well, yeah, we did. What's transpired is, the left has gone bonkers over that. Scherer actually has come out against it, against allowing them in the country, period. Whereas before, she was for it, you know, until she figured out, wait a minute, they're not talking about coming in my neighborhood now, you know. And people like her and other people are coming against it. So I don't know. I don't know what the status is on that. I think it was more of a ploy on Trump's part to, you know,
suck him out there into the open, basically. Yeah. But
let people see what their agenda is.
One of the things that I've as far as this whole financial transition, from what I have been able to read and listen to various different people talk about it, is that it's kind of a process that's being set up into place. And all these things are kind of moving together, and things like some of the power players that are behind this on the evil side, there's a certain amount of evidence and and, you know, legal positioning and everything that has to take place in order to, shall we say, put the final coffin in the nail. It's because you can't just, you know, start the process and then it ends up being like a slap of the hands or something like that. So it seems to me that there's a lot of things that are happening together, and that this financial, the financial transition, from what I'm being told, the existing system needs to function until they're ready for that transition, because if it happens too quick, it will end up being detrimental to the whole purpose of the thing. And one of the other things that seemed kind of evident, and that was that there's a case to be built up in the public or in the minds of the American people as to the legitimacy of the Federal Reserve and that whole structure right now, that it's necessary that public support is behind this transition as well. So.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Now I was just going to agree with what you're saying about not praying against that caravan, because it seems like, I think David's message last night was spoken of a church burned or desecrated in South Carolina, and they said it was some migrants. I assume Muslims.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah. So I was just, yeah. I mean, if God says don't do it, then yeah, just let them come in. I mean, yeah, it's already starting over here, so that's all.
Okay. Yeah. He said what the Lord has told us is we can pray against the onslaught. We can ask the Lord to lessen it. So go ahead, Tim. I'll get you, Missy, just a minute.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I read somewhere, and I'm not even sure exactly where, but that the new caravans are not getting near the support of the Mexican people and the Mexican government, and that they're kind of stalling out because they're not being given provisions, water, and they're, you know, the first few caravans were getting rides on trucks and stuff like that. And the Mexican government said no more to that. So these people are getting, you know, into Mexico and then stalling out is what it sounds like to me. And it may not be all of them, but, you know, the one group that I saw reported on, and it sounded like a significant number, were pretty much just stagnant in Mexico. They couldn't get work permits. They didn't have any money. They weren't getting fed. You know, it sounds like time to turn around and go back home, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But things have slowed down, it appears, just what I saw. And like I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember where it was.
Yeah. Missy, she's on. Can you hear me, Missy? Missy, frozen time. You're frozen time, Missy.
Yeah, I must have. She must have got on by the time I saw my email.
Yes, she, I did. Hi.
Okay. No, fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's been on the whole time.
I should have looked. I didn't think.
I'm just kidding. She just got on about 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey.
Okay, anybody else? Let's pray then. Well, Father, you know all. And I'm asking you, Father, to do whatever is necessary to get the attention of the church, but also ask that you protect your chosen out there that are going to come out of those churches. And be a disciple of yours. I'm asking you to bring about, Lord, a good shaking on their part so that they can shake your chosen out of there. And I don't know how you're going to do it. Makes no, never mind. Ever how you want to do it, Father, that'd be good with us. And we ask, Lord, that you anoint those chosen of yours to help eyes to see and ears to hear the winds of change that are coming. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you will lessen the chastening upon your church. You know how much it's, just exactly how much it's going to take to get your children out of there and to separate from them. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray that even if you burn down all these churches, Lord God, that you protect your people that are in them. Lord, let them burn them down or blow them up when there's nobody in them. We don't want to see loss of life, but whatever you ordain will be sufficient. But we just pray for the people in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The phone making funny sounds over there. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about or pray about? Yeah, Missy.
I wanted to for my mom and dad. My mom told me the other day that once her and my dad both once took doubled their medicine by accident. They forgot they took it and took it again. That's not a good thing. And my mom in particular, it seems like she's having a lot of problems with her memory. So I wanted to pray for that. And I sent out a text message the other day, and my son Matt didn't answer about us all going out to dinner. And my mom said that if Matt and Megan didn't want to go, if my mom and dad were going, that they wouldn't go, so I would get to go have time with my boys. And I'm just not receiving that. I'm just really asking the Lord for wisdom, if he would have me to speak up and say anything to Matt, if he seems like he doesn't, you know, they don't want to go because my mom and dad's going to be there. I mean, it's almost to the point now, like, okay, that I almost feel like, I mean, I'm really praying about it, and I don't want to open my mouth and say anything if the Lord doesn't want me to. But,
amen.
But I'm just going to, it's like, Lord, please help me to know. You open the door wide open if you want me to say anything to Matt and Megan about, you know, if they don't want to go, because my mom and dad's going to be there. So, Father, I just ask you to work in their hearts, Lord, and that they'd be all right with it and that they go, Lord. You work in their hearts. I just ask you to iron this out. And I just bind up all spirits that are operating in them, that's putting up this wall, this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this anger, this rejection, this offense, any spirits operating that are hindering them and keeping them from wanting to reconcile with my mom and dad. I command you to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you to watch over my mom and dad with their medicines, Lord. I just rebuke their spirits of witchcraft, Lord, and pharmakia. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to watch over them and not permit them to anymore double their medicine by accident or whatever. And I thank you, Lord, for clearing up my mom's memory. And I break all those curses, spoken curses that have been spoken on themselves, Lord, and by other people in the name of Jesus. My mom is not forgetful in Jesus' name, and neither is my dad. And I thank you, Lord, that they have perfect memory. And I thank you for the patience and endurance that you're putting in both of them and going through the things that you're going through. And I just thank you, Lord, for sustaining them and keeping them, Lord, and just restoring them Lord, and it's not just a restoration, Lord. It's beyond restoration. It's not restoring what they used to have, but giving to them greater than what they've ever had, Lord, in you, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Lord, I'm going to pray that you would open up their eyes and their ears to hear the truth, that they don't have to live like that, because you're not under the curse when you believe what the Word of God says. And Father, I thank you for your promises, because your promises tell us how we can live. We don't have to live under the curse. We definitely don't have to live under pharmakia. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to open up their eyes to see. They're going to see testimonies of people being healed by the Lord God Almighty. And when they see him, they're going to wonder, well, how in the world did he do that? And then they're going to ask Missy, do you see this about that? How'd that happen? And then all she's got to do is go to her Bible and say, Mom and Dad, you know what it says right here? Mark 11:24, 1 Peter 2:24, John 14:14, and just go through the list. Because we don't have to live like that. Lord, I'm asking you to open their eyes and their spiritual ears in Jesus' name, so that they can reap the benefits of the promises. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? All right, did anybody run across any good scriptures this week, yesterday? Yeah, Pat, I knew I could depend on you. Thank you, Jesus.
I was going to ask somebody about this, but Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. So I was listening. I'm not quite sure how I was led into that, but I was thinking on the forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. And I guess I was wondering, is that forgetting of the things which are behind, are those the failures that Paul failed in, or was it the strengths, the overcoming, or was it both? Setting it behind him and stretching forward onto that high calling of God. And then the thing that kind of popped out to me was in verse 15 there, what it says, let us therefore as many as are perfect, or I guess the word is probably complete, or perfected, or whatever. And so if Paul is saying as many of us as are perfect, let me just pull that Greek up real quick so I can make sure that that is as many of us as are perfect is teleos, which is complete, the word for complete. So if Paul is saying, let us, as being one of the completed persons or perfected persons in Christ, is saying, let us be thus minded, it appears as though it's a inner contradiction, if you know what I mean. It appears that he's saying, I'm putting everything, whatever these were, positive or negatives, behind him and looking forward to the high calling of God in Christ, which it would sound to me like he is looking on towards perfection or completeness in Christ. But yet he's saying it as one that is completed in Christ. Does that make sense? Does the question make sense that I have?
Yeah, express your question.
How can you be perfect or completed in Christ and at the same time pressing on towards that completeness or completeness in Christ?
Okay.
How can you be in verse 15 perfected or completed in Christ and in 14 or 13 say, I forget everything before, and I'm pressing on in verse 14, I'm pressing on into that perfectness, perfectingness. Yet in 15, he'd say, now all of you that are perfected like me ought to be the same minded. Does that make sense?
Go ahead, Leah.
His perfection in 15 is by faith. He's perfected. But in the earlier scriptures, he's pressing towards that perfection. It's to manifestation. Okay? So the perfection that he has is by faith, and he's pressing towards it by pressing towards manifestation so he can truly realize that. And the old things is the things he used to try and do to save himself. And the new things that he's pressing towards is the high calling of God. Or at least that's the way I think of it.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
I'm seeing there, and what comes to mind is that the race isn't over until the end, because you could be in, perfection now, or, through faith, but if you give it up or go back, there's a verse, and I'm not sure where it's at. It says that, your righteousness acts don't matter if you're, at the end, you're unrighteous. If you're unrighteous your whole life, but at the end you become righteous, then that's where you end up. So the race goes to the very end. You don't attain it in midpoint and cross the finish line, and then you're perfected and you're a shoe-in for eternity. So I think that's where he's going, is that, you see striving to maintain and to keep growing and to keep improving and to not fall away. That's what I was seeing in it.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Leon started on the right path, and he's still on the right path when it comes to faith and manifestation here. But also, with faith, we don't stop being in faith for everything. But at the same time, we get the opportunity by giving God our faith and Jesus Christ the faith to walk in this walk. Like he says, you walk in the light as he is in the light. we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So by walking in that light, and he's forgetting what happened in the past, because now you're forgiven of your sins. You can't dwell on the past because it's gone. You're walking in the light. Why would you want to look back at what you were? You've been forgiven that. You're walking in the light. You've been cleansed. So we're moving forward. But it also says, I'm using a New Heart English 16 version here, Bible, just because it's the same, works with the ESV, but sometimes the words are just a little easier to understand. In Philippians 3:15, it says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way. So, well, you're by one offering, he's perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what we're supposed to think. We're taking it by faith. But he says, in anything you think otherwise, God will also reveal to you. So at the same time we're on this path, walking in the light, walking by faith, God will also reveal to us along the way where things we need to work on, things in our life he wants to get out of us. Doesn't mean we're not still perfected by faith. We're still walking by faith because it's all by faith. We can't do this without receiving God's righteousness. We're not receiving our own, receiving his righteousness. He's working in us through and through us, his will to do his good pleasure. So we're going to rely upon him to do that and work it in our life. And at the same time, he's going to expose things that we're going to agree with God, and we're going to let him work it out of us. And by faith, he's going to work these things out. And then it says, nevertheless, to we have attained. So we know we're at a level where we've attained it by faith. Let us walk the same by the same rule, being in the same mind. So we're all still staying in that same mind. We're walking by faith. We're walking in the perfection of Christ has given us. We're not being double-minded about it. And if God reveals something to us along the way, we work that out with him with faith that it's going to be worked out in his good way, in his good time. He's going to work out in us and perfect us along the way. And he's the one that's going to do all the work. It's all done by faith. We're going to go work along with it, though. We're not going to fight against that. We got to be on board with this. That's how we are part of the process, you know. But God reveals those things to us, too. So he keeps us in line and also lets us know that it's by faith and it's by grace that we're going to receive this. It's all by grace, and we continue to ask for grace for it.
Amen. Yeah, Matt, Pat, go ahead. You just muted yourself.
I guess I'm a loser at heart. So that makes sense, which also kind of brings me back to a scripture. In other words, what Paul is saying is that verse 15, it's like you're saying, Dave, it's all by faith. And it is by that faith that we, and only by that faith, that we make it into the manifestation.
Yeah, two things I've been listening to. A predestined, called, elect. I listened to that for like a good solid week, trying to work my way through that a little bit. And then perfection through Christ. I mean, those things hit this pretty hard, you know, so you can understand it's by the election that you're saved. But he has methods of election that we have to be working with. It's not just something you just step into and you got it. You got it by his faith that you're going to have it. At the same time, he called it from the beginning of time, but he has a process of election. You're going to go through this process to be there. You're going to be in part of the process. But at the same time, it's by grace, through faith, by grace, through faith. By grace, you've been saved through faith, not ourselves. It's a gift of God. Those don't go away. So if we understand that, we stay on that path.
I guess I was looking, it was something very small that the Lord did when I was looking back I was looking at these verses for who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And then I went over to Galatians 3:10, where it says, "For as many as are of the works of law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone," etc. I won't finish that. But I was thinking of what the other night when I prayed for healing. By the way, I'm still healed according to the stripes of Jesus. I still believe that. But I was thinking of this verse, and it came to me as though I was thinking, and I don't know, this might come out wrong, but it was as though I was thinking that I have to walk, I know this is going to sound wrong, that I have to do the things, I have to walk in the healing that I have received. Now, I know that in one sense, I have to walk in the healing that I've received. I know that by faith. But there was something in me that was subtly thinking, that was separating faith in His word as to what He has done, and putting it wholly upon me performing or walking in a certain way in order to obtain the healing. And the Lord kind of used this word in Galatians, that as for as many as are of the works of the law are under curse. For whatever reason, the Lord made that connection to that particular thought in me, that I need to walk out certain things in order to be healed. Now, I know that in, to a certain degree, that is correct, but it has to be a result of faith instead of trying to obtain faith. Does that make sense? Does that question make sense?
Well, I think so. I think what you're doing is putting yourself in under the law. What the Lord wants us to do when it comes to faith is forget about the affliction as if it wasn't there, and walk as if you didn't have it. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but just think of it this way. If you got a headache, and somebody prays for your headache, then you go on to do what work you got to do or whatever it is that you're doing, and forget about the headache. Next thing you know, the headache's gone, and you didn't realize it was gone until you thought about the headache. It's not something that how to explain it other than to just what I said.
Well, I know that it was very subtle. It was one of those thoughts or thinking that I had to, I guess I wasn't aware of. I mean, it's like one of those thoughts or positions of thinking or whatever that I was subtly trusting more in my ability to walk in it, as opposed to resting in the fact that Christ has done it.
Yeah. That's it.
Christ has done it, and technically there isn't anything I can do to change that.
Now you've got the right track there.
So that was kind of the subtle shift that I had to make, and that's where it went. Mm-hmm. Anyway, praise the Lord.
When you got there, they put in the Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. What are you saying, Dave?
I was saying when he cleansed them, he told them, "You're healed, go show the priests." So they all walk away, but when they were walking away, one realized he was healed. They came back and praised the Lord and thanked him. They just did what he was told. Now, when they were walking away, they might still have the leprosy, but when also one realized on the way of going to tell the priest and show them that they were healed, "Hey, I'm healed." So he went back and thanked Jesus. So he did that. He just started, they all walked in faith, and that's when they received it. But they had to walk it. They just walked it, and then they had it.
Amen. Well, the one got the healing, we know, and kept it. Don't know about the others. But here's the kicker. He thanked him. He glorified God because of his healing. And if you already know that you're healed, whether you feel it or not, it makes no difference. You go ahead and thank God and praise him. Not by law.
When they were walking away, I'm sure they weren't healed immediately, but he got his healing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What about the guy that wanted to argue with him about which one, which he put and taking him to the Jordan, wasn't it? Wanted him to wash his eyes out.
Yeah. I want to go to that river.
that nasty place. I don't go over there.
Are you talking about Nahum?
Yeah.
In the Old Testament?
Probably so, yeah. Yeah. Well, what his servant told him, he said, "Well, you go be blind or go wash your eyeballs."
Yeah, I'm thinking of the leprosy that the
Naaman.
Naaman.
He went to Elijah, and Elijah didn't even come up.
He wouldn't come out and see him.
told his servant, "Go tell him to wash 7 times in the river."
And a little lesson of humility on this one, wasn't there?
Maybe bad, you know. But the neat thing about that verse, that story, is I guarantee he dipped himself 6 times and he was still a leper. It wasn't until that 7th time that he came up and he was clean. That's a good story.
I learned quite a bit from that one, really, you know.
Yeah.
Because that guy was he was a general or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he got treated like anything but, he wasn't important when he got there, you know.
Is he the one that also went back to Elijah and asked him, saying that, "Hey, I have to go into the apostate or the Church of Baal here because my master, so when I kneel down, please forgive me. I'm not kneeling down to Baal." That was the same guy, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was Nishrak was the god he was worshiping. Hey, I wanted to say to you, Pat, that you can't walk a special way and make things work, you know. And that was what I was getting from you. If I could just walk this special way, I'd be healed. And you can't do that. You can just walk by faith, you know, and That's what everybody just said to you.
That's the subtlety of the deception. Yeah,
right. Yes. And that's how subtle that Satan tricks you. That's how he tricks you, because it is subtle, you know. If you could just walk this special way, you know, maybe do a dip every third step or something. I got this special walking method to, and it's not that, you know.
Right, and yeah. the problem is even if you did walk in that way, the devil would condemn you that you missed the way, and
right.
be, you know, condemnation.
Absolutely.
And looking to trip you up, the first Bible passage I got of the year was Isaiah 58, 11, and I put the whole, I don't know if I put the whole chapter, and I put in verse 1 through 14 in there, but 58:11 says, the first thing, and the Lord will guide you continually. And that's the title of Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you continually. Boy, if we just put that in our up front, and I see that every morning, the Lord will guide you continually, and open up that file, it's just like it reaffirms that you just put your faith that he's going to be there guiding you always. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We got to go through these little rocky places, you know. It guides us through in our life, however he wants to work things out in us. But we just got to have faith that he's there, even though we don't sometimes think he's there in what we're going through.
Wow, look at the next verse, Dave, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Yeah, he didn't give me that one.
I just did.
Amen. Anybody else want to wade in? Yeah, Missy.
Okay. I'm trying to think how I want to ask. I'm sitting here thinking about that. I don't know if you noticed me kind of like laughing when you were talking about you don't pay attention to the pain. You just go on and whatever, you know. You believe you're healed no matter what you feel or whatever, but, and you don't think about it. Well, it's like, I'm like thinking, okay, I know when I'm, oh dear God, I don't want to speak, curses, but I want to be real at the same time. To me, it's like when I'm in that much pain, I can't even, that I can't get my mind off the pain. Okay, it's like it's there. It's like, how do you? And I'm like thinking, Lord, it seems like it's like it's the epitome of coming against the flesh, you know, not believing that it's there. But it's like, okay, yeah, you got to praise, and you know, you don't. Okay, you speak to it and you command to go and clean your heel, blah, blah, blah. And then you just praise and thank the Lord. But it's, and I get that. But it's like, I'm telling you, like, when I'm in that much pain, it's hard to not think about it, you know? And I'm like, and I just...
Well, I'll tell you what you could do. Just get out and go mow the yard. Or
but, you know, it's like, yeah, I do my best to do whatever it is I got to do, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just hurt that bad. It's just like it's hard to do.
Call for help. Call for help.
I mean, for prayer?
Yeah.
Well, I do, but I know. I know sometimes I feel like I you know. I know. You know I do. Last times, you know I do. You know I do. But it's. I don't want to say but it's. It's like yeah, we need each other. We need that backup.
Absolutely.
But sometimes I feel like, okay, you know, what about when, you know, sometimes I feel like I should be able to finally be able to get past always asking for help. And that's wrong, I guess, because that's God's grace. I mean, by asking each other for help, that's at the same time that's asking for the Lord's help, because, you know, when you go and ask others for help to agree with you in prayer, that's, you know, one chases 1,000, two chases 10, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know quite what I just feel. Well,
let me ask you a question.
Okay, let's put it this way. Okay, after you know, you call someone or and ask for, you know, backup in prayer, and you pray and you believe, and you don't have that instantaneous manifestation. Let's just say that that's the case, because we know that happens lots of times, and it's like. I don't know. Go ahead and say what you're going to say. I don't know what were you going to say?
Well, I've been forgotten now.
Oh, geez. Sorry.
What's the faith of the transition that Missy is talking about there? What is the, Leon was talking about faith.
Patience.
Right. It's fighting the good fight of the faith, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm feeling bad sometimes, Missy, I go lay down.
Well, tired. Yeah, I do too, but sometimes, lots of times, for me to go lay down doesn't make me feel better.
Oh.
But that's what I feel like doing.
I know my limits too. There's things where if I'm working, staying up too late and having to come in too early, I can't be here, because I got to be functional enough at work where I don't get hurt. So I know my limits. I know my physical limits, you know, as in this body. So I'm not, you know, don't have that supernatural strength yet. We haven't been born again in this new kingdom for that new body yet, you know. So not that I'm making excuses for the frailty of what we have, but this still is flesh we're dealing with, you know, and
right,
you know.
I'll tell you something. Let me just tell you what my experience is with myself as far as things like you're talking about, Missy. Stuff that comes on you, and you know, we've all had colds and we've had the flu and that kind of thing. And when it comes on you, what do? Do you crawl up in the bed, or do you get out and go ahead and do what you got to do, because you're not going to feel any better one way or the other anyway? So I just go ahead and do what I have to do, and next thing I know, it's gone. And that's what I do. I just go ahead and work. A lot of people crawl into bed and suffer for 3 days or whatever it is, you know. I don't do it, because I feel bad in bed and I feel bad outside of bed. So I might as well get up, go ahead and do something. And next thing you know, it's gone.
If I lay down, it's only for a few hours or something like that. You know, it's just.
I'll talk about me. Everybody else has a different way of doing it. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had a certain amount of experience with that, going about doing what I got to do. And it alleviating and going away or all but gone away. And then when I go to, you know, sit down and relax, or I go to do something else, then when I'm done doing what I was doing, it comes back on me.
Well, it doesn't either.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and when I feel it start to come back on me, I rebuke it and I don't receive it and stuff, you know, but it's just, that's just been my experience over and over. And I just, I'm like, sometimes I feel like the Lord's saying, I'm teaching you to fight, but it's like, why do I have to fight for something when I command it? I'm sorry, that's just how I feel. When I command it gone and I'm believing by faith that it's gone, and why do I have to keep fighting it? To me, it's like, if I keep fighting it, it's not believing. To me, it's not believing that it's gone. And I guess maybe it's more about praising and thanking the Lord that it is gone. But it's almost like the more I pay attention, it's like, okay, you can fight it directly, spiritual warfare in that respect, you know, now I don't receive this, and you just keep confessing God's word and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you can praise and thank the Lord that it is gone. But, and just, I guess the thing of it is being focused on the Lord and praising him and thanking him just for who he is, rather than that praising and thanking being directed towards your situation, you know what I'm saying? Towards the Lord for believing that you're healed in that particular situation.
You think this is witchcraft, maybe?
I don't, what do you mean by that?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, just because I'm wondering that the area that she's in, you know, it might be, you know, she might be fighting more than just, you know, whatever's coming on her. Maybe something else. Yeah,
depends on how often do you get it, Missy. I'll tell you what, let's do. Okay? You think, do you have it right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'd say it's once like every week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Because we live around areas, when you're on the East Coast, I'm sure there's a lot of witchcraft around there.
Well,
you know, I'm not saying there is, but I just don't know. It's just, it seems
well,
like
Allegheny County, the largest employer of Allegheny County, which is the county that I live in, is the largest employer is UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. It's the largest employer. And and I've recognized there's a spirit of pharmakia witchcraft over that county big time. I mean, it's medical this, medical that, everywhere.
Are you talking about where you are right now or where you live?
Where I live. And actually, there's this new hospital that they're building right down from my mom and dad, that it's the first time I've heard about one being built here, and it's spreading over this way, UPMC. It's going to be a UPMC hospital.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we pray for you, you going to believe?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're not under the curse. You don't have to work around with the curse. So we're just going to pray and we're going to believe. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I thank you. You've given us that authority over all the power of the enemy. You told us that in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and other ones too. So in the name of Jesus right now, these attacks that are coming against Missy, we count them as null and void right now in Jesus' name. Those attacks can't get by that shield that we prayed around Missy right now. Wherever she goes, she's not under the curse, that shield blocks every curse that's been thrown against her and everybody around her. And Lord, she's going to be a walking testimony to your glory because of our prayers for her. Everybody here is going to believe that she's walking around in a box that has, that the enemy cannot penetrate in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that your angels surround about her. and keeping and thwarting every attack of the enemy against her as far as headaches go, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for that, and muscle spasms and all the other things associated with. I command those things to go from her and not come back in the name of Jesus. And when they try, that all she has to do is strike thank you and praise you, Father, and they have to go in Jesus' name. Not that they're ever going to do it again, but Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody here said amen if you believe it.
Amen.
Thank you. Michael, how about putting a helmet of salvation on her?
Okay.
Lord, we pray the helmet of salvation on Missy, Lord God, that nothing can penetrate and get in other than what you have for her. But it would guard her from the enemy, Lord God. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we just thank you like we used to say when I was a kid. She's rubber and they're glue. Everything they curse against her bounces off of her and goes back and sticks to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about when David was talking about how there was Satanists were going to different towns and speaking word curses over the towns, and then they're getting all sorts of violent activity was starting to take off around them, and then Antifa was picking up and all this stuff. It's like, you know, we might be fighting some battles where we're not seeing. We just have to be praying against, you know, not even realizing that's what's coming against us.
Amen. Yeah. I remember that one testimony of that warlock that was flying around with demons going to these churches and cursing those churches and causing division in the churches. And then they split up, and they just have a good time doing that. But they came across this one church that was a praying church. And they got up over there, and a big angel grabbed him, snatched him up, threw him down there in front of the pulpit of that church. And he just showed up, you know, his body and all, everything. The angel brought body and all. He was out in the spirit running around with him demons, causing havoc. And then angels just reached up there and smashed him out of there and threw him down there, body and all. Next thing he know, the preacher's sitting up there casting demons out of him. I forget that boy's name. He's a preacher, man. Y'all remember his name? You remember his name?
You mean John Ramirez?
Was he
in the New York area?
Yeah.
He used his astral project. And he was a high-level warlock. Yep. Yeah, I've heard his testimony. It's powerful. Yep.
I'll tell you what, you don't mess with them big angels.
Yeah. Well, when you hear those stories, you start getting the idea of the glimpse of there is a spiritual warfare really going on that we don't see.
But we're talking about those warfares, you know.
When we come together like this and we pray against those things, you know, we've got the upper hand. We got the authority over it.
How many angels y'all figure that we send out when we pray? You can't count them. We can't count them. I ain't got a calculator big enough. I'm telling you, when we pray, just like we prayed for Missy, she better look out. She ain't gonna have another headache. Yeah, any, many, many more. Catch Leon or Joe by the toe. If he hollers, make him pay.
$50
every day. Go ahead, Leon.
Oh, wow. Come on now.
Hey, I know. We don't hear. We don't hear.
Okay.
Well, you may talk. Leon, you muted yourself. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
There you go. No, I'm here now.
No, he's going.
It's not working right today. Anyway, remember that the guys that hacked our website were putting curses on us. So that's not necessarily finished. So we got to continue to pray in that regard.
I wanted to say too, pretty much, you know, I think pretty much every day. I mean, when I get up in the morning, that's one of the things that I pray is I break any spoken curses, thought curses, or, you know, any witchcraft, you know, I pray against anything like that coming towards me, you know, but, you know, once again, you know, it's sometimes we need some big guns, some big swords, actually, you know, multiple swords. One chases 1,000, two chases 10,000. So. But anyway.
That's why we come together to pray together, so we can chase them all down.
Amen. Okay, Joe.
All right, there we go. Now I get a turn. No, I was just going to say that, well, what you were talking about, Missy, but I guess we're kind of past it. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you are when it comes to witches, because I was coming up, like, you know, when I was going to that little church up there that was doing spiritual warfare on a pretty high level in Western New York, we were getting attacked by a coven in Salem, Massachusetts. The name's Lori Cabot. She, you know, I guess that's, she's the head witch or however exactly it works. And she probably didn't know who this little congregation was there, but, you know, yeah, they were sending curses our way. I used to get attacked. I mean, the whole little congregation and its people all over the nation who would come to the conferences, you know? Yeah. So I think, and just like you said, Leon, whoever it is, they probably, I mean, do you know if they all live in Tennessee or they live all over the nation, I guess? Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the spiritual realm, there's no boundaries, you know? It's, I mean, they can go, like John Ramirez, you know, a good example, he would go to other countries and he would, you know, he had such authority in the spiritual realm. Yeah, he could go and command, I guess, principalities in other countries to do his work, you know, to do Satan's work. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you could be receiving wherever you're at in Pennsylvania. It doesn't matter. You could be getting hit by witches in New York. Yeah, Salem, Massachusetts. I mean, really dark area spiritually, you know, where they had the Salem witch trials and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's doesn't really matter. You know, I've learned. And, yeah, I mean, that's what.
Let me tell you a little secret here. When you walk into a town, you have to believe that you are complete authority walking into that town. You don't, nothing, not nobody, no nothing can mess with you if you believe. I had this is many years ago, and this lady was doing a background history of the town I grew up in, and it was nothing but witchcraft, and it was founded by a whiskey salesman, and they put in a house of ill repute, and sacrificed babies and all that kind of stuff, and she was warning me, said, you know, you come up here after I became a Christian, she said, you know, and the Lord placed it in my heart to tell her, see, wait a minute now, you telling me that devil has more power than God? No way. When we walk into a place, we walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus. We have all the power of heaven available to us. And we don't have to acquiesce to any kind of demonic activity at all. And just like we was talking earlier, if you get in trouble, call somebody, for goodness sake. Get a hold of somebody with faith that you know that has faith. Let them pray. You all pray together. And when you pray together, oh my goodness gracious sakes alive. I tell you something, when I need prayer, I'll ask for it. I'm not, you know, I handle a lot of it myself, but I ask for prayer. David asked for prayer too. So it ain't no big deal. And it gets out of your hand, ask for prayer. There's nothing wrong with it. There comes a time when the little things you need to take care of yourself. But if it's something that's out of your hands, call for help. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what the enemy's going to try to condemn you about. No big deal. Yeah, how many of you like pain? Boy, I sure don't, son. I get some pain. Somebody going to have to put his hands on me, Lord of God, and pray. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'd like to also say that, you know all the faces here on the conference call, you know, and where there's no faces, there's names. There's like Charity, there's Barbara, there's Wade and Jeanette. If any time you're going through your day and the Lord puts one of us on your mind, you should be praying for it. Even like if it's a family member or an acquaintance you even had in high school or something, you know, that's a call for prayer, I think. Anyway.
Well, you're exactly right. I do that. Lord does that to me, Andrew. He placed an old friend of mine in my brain, my thoughts pattern the other day. And, of course, I knew he wanted me to pray for him because I had prayed for him in the past that God would save him and salvation would come to his family. So, yeah, it happens quite often. And I pray for y'all. Go ahead, Pat. And I know y'all pray for everybody, too.
I was so I guess when you were talking about, you know, going into say another town or something and you walk in there with authority, and I was thinking that the foundation of that authority, place that scripture in Colossians there that was kind of, that hit me the other day, and that was giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness. And that word power there is the authority or exousia. It's the authority structure of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And when I think of that whole process there, I think of ambassadors, mm-hmm. who are, you know, we United Nations is like, you know, 100 miles away or whatever. And the weird thing about you can hear people in New York talk about those diplomats that enjoy and take advantage of diplomatic immunity, because they can literally go wherever they want, and they can, not that this is a positive, but they can break, you know, whatever local laws are around, and they can't be touched. Now, I'm sure that there's certain you know, things that violate that agreement, so to speak, but there is a real immunity that those people, and I'm going to say, enjoy in the midst of our society, simply because they have this diplomatic immunity. And we, on the positive side of that same example, we have been given diplomatic immunity, having been translated into the kingdom of God, and we enjoy all of the protections and all of the immunity and separation from this world. Even though that we live in this world, that diplomatic immunity, so to speak, exists in our life. And in some sense, you can't change that. If you have become, if you believed in Christ, you have, and you have been entered into that relationship with God, you've been translated. And there isn't anything you can do to have to change that. It's already been done. You're already over there. You're in a different realm, a different kingdom. And so resting on that foundation, I believe, is the boldness and the fearlessness that, that you're talking about, Michael, when you walk into these, in, into another environment, another city. You are resting in that authority that you've been given. So I don't know. It's just, to me, it's kind of a foundational understanding of what Michael was saying there.
Amen. Y'all remember that that time that Henry Groover went down into that thing? I forget how, somebody might remember, but he told that big demon down there. He put the fear of God on that demon. A great big demon, he said, big ugly demon.
The catacombs of Rome.
Yeah, okay. You remember what he was talking about?
No.
I heard somebody talking about it. Yeah, he went down there. The Lord told him to go down there, didn't he?
He was translated, and then he found himself down there in Rome, supposedly where Paul was buried. You know,
as well, he had a couple of members of a SEAL team with him, didn't he?
Yeah, those were his prayer warriors. His like prayer warrior team. Yeah, absolutely. They were there.
Yeah.
And the two big demons were there. Yeah.
He went down there like he knew what he was doing. Lord told him to go down there and cast that demon out of there. He did.
We actually chained him up. He spoke it.
What he did?
Bound him up, because I guess they had that apostolic mantle is what he was talking about. Because, you know, he just said, I mean, you know, Henry Gruber basically just said, I don't feel like I was anybody special for God to do this to me. But he said, you know, I want you to loose this apostolic mantle that has been bound up for all these years. And I guess he said, you know, that's supposedly where Paul was buried. You know, and had that mantle, and yeah, these two big demons were guarding it, and he basically, you know, he went down there in the spirit, I believe, and yeah, loosed it, you know, and so I guess that's where we are today. Is, you know,
I thought he translated him over there in body, and the SEAL members were with him. I don't remember, but that's what I remember.
No, I think it was in the spirit, you know, and then he said all of a sudden, because he was on his knees praying at like 3 a.m, and then he found himself right back at his, you know, there again. So I think it was in the spirit, but he. Another good example of just kind of having that authority, and I think it was his son or somebody who went with him. He's a prayer walker, you know, kind of his part of his ministry, missionary, you know, prayer walking, you know, breaking curses, all that stuff. And he went to a place out in Colorado, I believe it was, where, I mean, like an area of this town that was just run by drug dealers. I mean, it was so run down, or gangs, you know. I mean, it was like a war zone. And, you know, I think I remember he was saying, kind of like what you were saying, Michael, you know, I mean, when you have that authority and you know you do and you're confident, you can go anywhere, you know, and you can just stand there and be confident. And this other gentleman, I think, who was part of a little Baptist church, you know, he knew the pastor of this Baptist church. You know, he went there and said, anyone want to go with me tomorrow? I'm going to go prayer walk in this area. And they're like, are you crazy? You know, those people will kill you. You know, they had like gangbangers and drug dealers like running that whole area. I mean, it was total poverty. And, you know, he said, no, the Lord told me, you know, he said, okay, if I die, whatever, he'll raise me from the dead. You know, I don't care. And, you know, I think he told his son, or it was somebody else, he's, you know, he was apprehensive of going. He's, you know, he was afraid. He said, don't do it. You know, if you're in fear, you know, it's just not, don't, you know, it's okay. Don't do it. Cause I mean, yeah, if you're not confident, then basically, I guess, use common sense. Don't go biting off more than you can chew. You know, I mean, when it comes to that, but if you really understand your authority, like, you know, like you were saying, Michael, yeah, you'll be confident. You'll go, you'll go into those situations and, you know, you'll do what God wants you to do. So,
amen.
Tell you.
That's like that time me and Jane Bowman went into that apartment house, and there was three or four gentlemen in there. There was only one way in, one way out of that place. We went in there to go pray for somebody, and they were passing a peach can full of wine around, drinking out of it, you know. They was all about half drunk. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get out of this situation, you know? Game just bowled right on in there, you know. That's why I first became a Christian. And he was taking me out on the streets and showing me God's miracles. And he was real confident that nothing was going to bother him. And this man, he one night in Memphis, back street, back alleys in Memphis, he jumped right in the middle of about four guys shooting dice in a back alley at night, after dark. And they had a light, you know, over the porch, and they were sitting there shooting craps or dice. And he started preaching to them. And one of them said, "Don't you know, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm preaching the gospel to you. The Lord told me to do it, and I'm going to do it." And one of them started crying. And the other two or three took off. And he got to witness to that guy because of his obedience and his boldness that Jesus was with him. That's what God wants us to be. That's the way he wants us to be. Praise God. And that's the way I want to be. You go into a town, you say, that's what that girl told me. She said, "This demon is over this town." I said, "No, it ain't. I'm here now. Jesus is over it." That's the bonus we got to have. You could say it. You might not feel it, but you can say it, can't you? Don't fear. Don't fear, because just like Joe was saying, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You know, one minute you're here, next minute you're with Jesus. So I wouldn't be worried about anything in that respect. We listen, y'all, before it's over with, every one of us are going to have that boldness. You're going to wonder, where did this come from? What, it came from Jesus. And you're just going to be walking. People are going to be dying all around. Man, I'll tell you what, I have seen this in the spirit realm, where a nuclear bomb would fall down right beside me. I'd just wipe the dust off and go on preaching the gospel. Don't worry about that stuff. It don't make any difference. That's the power of God that God's going to put in every one of us. He's going to give it to us. If you haven't got it, ask for it. Yeah, Joe.
That actually reminds me of a story of, I think it was when Chernobyl melt, you know, there was that, you know, meltdown. And I heard this sermon from a Baptist preacher or something like that on the radio. And he's saying, like, the believers would just go outside and there's radiation everywhere, and they would just pray to God, God, keep us safe from this stuff. You know, or I'll have to find as well. You know, I like how you brought up Henry Gruber. He was over prayer walking in Fukushima. I'll have to find that one and I'll play it one time, but it's powerful. Just, I mean, you know, radiation everywhere, you know, and it didn't even phase him. I thought, wow, that's some, I mean, well, but I love listening to his testimonies. They were really encouraging.
That's just like Lake going out there with all that bubonic plague.
Yeah.
I hate to worry about the spirit of life in Christ in him. Boy, he didn't have to worry about it. The law of the spirit of Christ in him. We don't have to worry about none of that stuff. Praise God. I'm getting excited about the times ahead, because we're close, folks. We're that close. Listen to this. Some more good news. Saudi Arabia and other... some more of those countries over there, Middle Eastern countries, are pressuring Palestine to sign the peace treaty. You know what happens when the peace treaty is signed? Here's the United States now here's the United States afterwards. Splitting right in two. They're fixing to do it. They're fixing to sign it. So that and this new quantum financial system that's fixing to come online. It's already online, folks. I don't know if you really know that, but it's already online. All they're waiting on is the central banks. And they've got them in hand. I mean, they're controlled. The Federal Reserve is non-existent. This is it's all coming down. I'm telling you, it just looks like everything is falling into place, just like God wants it to. And ain't nothing we've done other than pray. Of course, that's a mighty powerful thing we're doing there when you pray. Pray protection on Trump. Trump doesn't know what he's doing when he does these things. The Lord just leading him around, making him do things that he won't do. How many of you know that the peace treaty has to be signed before the tribulation starts? Peace treaty has to be signed. And once that peace treaty is signed, that's it.
You're talking about the peace treaty with Israel?
Yep. I'm talking about the peace treaty for the Palestinian.
The covenant with many.
Yeah. No, not the covenant. The peace treaty to separate Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so, the peace treaty, yeah, it's all the same, I suspect. We'll find out.
Well, there's two different ones then, I guess. There's a covenant made with many, and then there's a separate code there that's land divided with Israel.
Yeah, that's what's going to cause an earthquake.
Okay.
Lord's already told us that. That's going to happen.
One of the things I forget about asking for prayer is sometimes my skin gets real itchy. And I fight it, it goes away, just like Missy, and then it starts coming back, you know. I go through those spells. And a lot of it's come from work, just being around a lot of chemicals and stuff. So I'll take prayer for that.
Okay, Father.
I fight my faith, but I'll just take more people on my side.
All right. Well, let's just pray then.
All right.
As David said, let's just pray. That's what we're fixing to do. We're going to pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to put up with the curse. David doesn't have to put up with it. And I'm asking you to put a shield around him and around his skin to lubricate his skin like it's supposed to. And any harmful things in his plan or wherever, even walking outside, won't affect it in the name of Jesus, because your shield is on him. And we praise you for it. Father, we just thank you that he's not under the curse and he's not going to have dry skin anymore or itchy skin anymore in the name of Jesus, because Amen. You have already lubricated all of his skin cells and they're doing everything that they need to keep that from doing it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for your healing power upon Dave, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I just praise you for all you're doing, Lord. And I pray that for everybody, that nothing can penetrate this shield that we believe that we have by faith around each one of us. When we go outside, and under all of these chemical trails, we don't have to worry a thing in the world about those things affecting us, because that aluminum can't touch us, that boron can't touch us, or whatever all of that chemicals is that they're spraying all over everybody is not touching us. We don't get the chemtrail crud anymore, because we're shielded by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that we're all under that shield of protection that you have afforded every one of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that every time we go to another city, we're constantly praying in the Spirit, because we know that helps us in our faith. That builds our faith up, that we know when we walk in that town, there's a new sheriff in town. Praise God. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for Joe, Britt, and Nora, that your shield of protection is upon them, that nothing can penetrate it, in Jesus' name. There's not going to be any trouble around their house. That's a house of God, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray the same thing for Andrew up there and amongst all that bunch of people up there. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon him and his family as well. And we praise you, Father, that when this thing breaks, you're going to have him and his family go wherever it is that they need to go. Same way with Joe and Nora. Same way with all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, my, 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 my. I still think, Joe, I'm going to be out there one day, translated out there. I'm going to beam you and Nora back here. I believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, believing for it, yes.
Y'all have something ready to eat now when I get there.
For sure, for sure. <Up on board>.
And I don't want no camel meat neither. I don't mind goat. Goat's okay. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? You think I'm kidding you, don't you, Joe? I ain't kidding. I'm going to be out there to get you.
Joe, do you have grits over there?
Amen. There you go.
Okay, you're covered. You're covered, Michael.
Okay.
Jay, tell him he's got a deal. If you don't feed him camel meat, that he won't feed you roadkill.
Well, I can't promise that.
I think I would try camel. I look pretty good, actually. I've seen that. I look pretty good.
Camel?
Yeah.
When I was over in Morocco, I rode a camel. Every July 4th, they'd bring a couple of camels out there on the base. And we'd get on them crazy things and ride them like horses. Come on, man. Them things just lope. Shroom, shroom, shroom like that. And it's hard to hold on them big boys, I'm going to tell you. Anyway, we're about out of time here. I'm sorry. We're having such a good time. Glory to God. Anybody got anything we need to pray about before we go? Yeah, Joe.
Keep coworker Dave in your prayers, you know, with the cancer and all that. He seemed like he seems pretty weak these past couple days. So just pray for, you know, strength and as the Lord leads in that area. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we thank you that he's healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I just got off the phone with my daughter, and she's got there's a lot of chaos at work right now, so I told her we pray for her. So, Lord, ask you to guide Katie and be with her as things are kind of topsy-turvy at work, and give her your wisdom and your guidance and decisions that she's going to be making regarding employment and where you'd have her go and what you'd have her do. So just be with her and make sure that and we pray that Katie would listen and hear your words. We thank you for that, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm going to pray for Blake too. Lord, I thank you for placing it in Blake's heart to come out here in Jesus' name and be with the family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, Lord, I just ask that you bless everybody tonight with a good night's sleep and just bless them mightily with bold faith, Lord. Faith that they've never experienced before, to come in and take over. And I just praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for letting us all come together tonight in Jesus' name. It's been a blessing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.